Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Episode 113, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points. A special Thanksgiving edition with Chris and Dave. Nothing really unique about it other than we're just recording it earlier since it's Thanksgiving this week. But what a week it is. This is like the best week in sports, isn't it? Because you got daytime college hoops. You've got big rivalry games in college football. You get the Thursday night in the NFL. So whatever your sports preference is, there's something for everyone that's active right now.
I tell you what, it's fantastic. All these great rivalry games coming up this weekend, including the Dogs and Tech. Yeah, like you said, got the NFL for us, the three Thursday games,
yep,
plus the games coming up this weekend, including, what is it? What was the game last year that was kind of the game of the year in the regular season? It was that Chiefs and
The Rams.
Rams game.
Yeah.
And I guess we've got one of those coming up this weekend. Would it be the Ravens and the Niners? Aren't they playing this week?
Oh, they
I think they're the
– yeah, because the Ravens were just out in L.A.
Yeah, just whipped the Rams. And I guess they're getting set to take on the Niners. I think it's like a 1 o'clock kickoff. I mean,
that's a good
really?
Job. Well, at least the Falcons don't play Sunday, so we might be able to watch it locally.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Since the Falcons play Thursday night against the Saints. But, San Francisco at Baltimore. Just a straight-up 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday.
How did they miss that
So
one?
What's America's game of the week? 425. The 425 games on Sunday are the Chargers and Broncos and the Raiders and Chiefs. That's brutal.
How did the NFL let that happen?
Because the Sunday night game is the Patriots and the Texans. I guess I get that. But aren't they flexing already? Couldn't NBC have changed that?
Unless the flexing didn't start until – but I thought it had already started.
Yeah, so that's just a straight-up 1 o'clock. Well, hopefully that game is on locally.
God, if they give us that's on Fox. If they give us Washington, Carolina, although that's on CBS.
No, what if we get the Packers and Giants? Because it's, New York.
Yeah, or the Bucks and the Jaguars is on Fox.
Oh, God. What about the Eagles and Dolphins?
Yep. Ooh.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, well.
Well, anyway, that is the game of the day on Sunday, and it's just a standard 1 o'clock kickoff. Hey, sign up for a Sunday ticket if you haven't already. But yes,
they're not even paying us to say that.
So Thursday we get Mitchell Trubisky and Jeff Driskel at 12:30, and then you get the Bills. Can't wait to be betting on the Bills or the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, and then the Saints and the Falcons in a big revenge game for New Orleans as Atlanta returned to action on Sunday. With just getting thumped at home by the Bucks.
I looked to see if any Falcons got hurt in that game, crashing back down to earth, but I didn't see anything on that.
Well, Julio hurt his shoulder. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
He left the game and then came back, and so I don't know with a short week. It seems like he always grinds it out, even if he's not 100%. So I would expect the same on Thursday night. But you got that and then the Egg Bowl.
Yep.
With Mississippi State 5-6, so they've got bowl eligibility on the line, and Ole Miss is 4-7, so all they have on the line is that golden egg.
That game's always really, really chippy, too, so I'm expecting some shenanigans.
There was a fight last year.
Yeah, Matt Corral was kind of in that, wasn't he?
Yeah. So that Ole Miss team, though, that John Rhys Plumlee he's something.
Mm.
And so he'll be fun to watch. They'll probably – Mississippi State right now just looks like a corpse.
a zombie walking through the end of the season with Joe Moorhead seemingly like he's got a good chance of that maybe being his last game. I would think Ole Miss is the side to back in that one.
Ole Miss, though, away from Oxford, they have a 5-point loss to Memphis, a 28-point loss to Bama, an 11-point loss to Missouri, and a 6-point loss to Auburn. So they're 0-4 on the road.
Yeah, well, it's a couple of Memphis is good, Auburn is good.
Yeah.
So
that's been a tough road schedule.
Yeah. Mississippi State might be the worst team they've played on the road.
I agree for sure. It's definitely not Memphis.
Yeah.
It's not Alabama. I don't know the way Missouri's going right now. But they caught Missouri, I think, before the offensive doldrums hit there.
So then you move on to Friday, the game of the day. Well, there's a couple of them. There's Memphis and Cincinnati in the AAC. And then in the ACC, Virginia and Virginia Tech. That's for a spot to get blasted by Clemson in the ACC title game. Virginia hasn't beaten the Hokies since 2003.
That's crazy.
It's Bud Foster announced his retirement. They haven't given up a point now in like 2 weeks. So he is he's going out in style. And I would think that the Hokies aren't looking to lose to Virginia again in what would be his last game. They went from Justin Fuentes getting fired to now they might make the ACC title game.
And he was in it with them, what, in 2016, his first year. So it'd be his second time back as the head coach at Virginia Tech. And I don't know that it matters. Clemson probably needs Virginia Tech to be their opponent, or does it really matter who they play in the championship game?
I think they're in if they win.
Yeah. They got 45 dropped on them by Duke back on September 27th. I'm talking about Virginia Tech. And then Miami scored 35 on them the next week. And then they had that weird overtime game where it actually got to just – the two-point conversion contest.
Yeah, against North Carolina.
Against North Carolina. And since then, they've been really good. They've been very, very good. So the month of November, they did lose to Notre Dame by a point, but they beat Wake Forest. They shut out Tech, shut out Pitt. Yeah, and the final regular season game for Bud Foster, trying to make it three straight shutouts.
Yeah, so that'll be the game to watch on Friday.
Friday at noon.
Yep. And then Saturday, of course, we got clean old-fashioned hate with the Dogs and the Jackets, with Georgia a 4-touchdown favorite against Tech. And so many Georgia fans looked at that and say, wait, can we even score 28 points?
You'd like to think so against this Tech defense. But they've been playing a little bit better. And, hey, they got a win their last time out.
They
did.
Somehow
they got the win. North Carolina State has had a wretched season.
With two extra days now to get ready for this one since they played on Thursday.
Yeah, that line was a little bit – I thought it would be low 20s. I was surprised it was close to 30.
I was thinking like 24 in that range. So it was a little higher than I thought it would be too.
Yeah. But that being said, Vegas, I guess, is letting us know that – they think a lot higher of Georgia than they do of Tech.
Well, it's another one of those, not quite to the degree that that Ohio State and Rutgers was, but it's one of those where the point spread and the total are not that far apart. So essentially you're looking at, we think only one team is going to score, so it's going to come down to what Georgia's offense could do. I mean, I'd be stunned if Tech was able to muster anything on offense the way Georgia's defense has been playing.
No, they've been terrific. And almost so good that the reliance on the special teams and the field goals has come back out. And I think the pattern here, too, is we saw it against Florida, we saw it against Auburn, we saw it against A&M, where the Dogs had a lead, a two-score lead. The defense was on the field so much, might have gotten a little bit gassed and doing a great job, but the offense wasn't sustaining a whole lot. Georgia's offense, it is what it is. I know that's a terrible cliche to throw out there, but it's got to be a little bit better if Georgia wants to advance here in the overall scheme of things.
To beat LSU, I think our defense can slow LSU down. I mean, Auburn held them to 23 points in Baton Rouge. Yeah. Our defense is better than Auburn's. But still, at some point, you have to be able to score. And this has been such a wacky season, because individually the games have not been a lot of fun to watch. They've been grueling, but then in the end Georgia keeps winning. And what Georgia just did this month to beat Florida, to beat Missouri, to beat Auburn, and to beat Texas A&M all in a row and never trail in any of those games is ridiculously impressive. So it's strange how individually each game did not feel that enjoyable. But here this Georgia team is with, I mean, I think they've got as good a chance as any. It's like the same position they've been in the last 2 years, even if it doesn't feel like this team is as good as the ones we've seen the last 2 years. But, I mean, I think Georgia's right there. They've got as good a shot as any team to win the to win a national championship. It doesn't mean I think Georgia's the best team, but I think if Georgia's capable of beating any team in the country, if you just give them one shot, one game, and that's it.
Well, I hadn't had a chance to go back and do the math here, but Georgia's essentially led the entire season. I mean, other than – and that's what Georgia has to do to be successful is play with the lead. If the Dogs get behind – probably don't like their chances as much. The thing is, like you said, we just haven't seen that. And since that South Carolina game where Georgia did play most of that game from behind, still didn't lose in regulation. Georgia does not have a loss this year in regulation.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Dogs were trying – they were having to climb the hill the whole game. And it was just a – it was a – you know, with the turnovers. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, shutting out Kentucky the next week, and Georgia hasn't turned the ball over since South Carolina, hasn't trailed since South Carolina – it's been very, very impressive. And then even if you go back before the South Carolina game, Tennessee had a lead, I think, briefly. Notre Dame did. But for the most part, I mean, Georgia's played ahead the entire season, and that's why they're 10-1 and trying to get to 11-1. So that's the key here against Georgia. I mean, this is, you know, not a hot take or anything. And Dan Mullen said it, you know, leading up to the game. He's like, you want to get the lead on Georgia and make them play from behind, but nobody's really been able to do that this year except South Carolina, and they were able to win.
Yeah, and maybe get out of what Georgia wants to do offensively, which I think with the defense and once the Dogs do get ahead, it is just the idea of, all right, let's not turn it over, and if we have to punt, Kamara is the guy who's really come on here as a real star late in the season.
Yeah,
and that was the difference in, against Texas A&M. They turned it over once, and Georgia won the field position battle. And ended up, you know, again, at the end of the day, you feel like Georgia had this game that for, you know, 55 minutes they were in control of. And then, you know, they're late in the fourth quarter. You're just hanging on for dear life. But Georgia did. And now it's Tech this week, which hopefully we won't have to sweat. I don't think we will. And then move on to the SEC championship game. And, you know, this is exactly where we want to be. I wonder, like, if Georgia hadn't – like, I think LSU is – if they beat Texas A&M Saturday, they're basically in the playoff. I think if they lose the SEC championship to us, they're still in. If we hadn't lost to South Carolina, could we say the same thing if we were undefeated? Like, the SEC title game wouldn't matter?
What if the SEC title game had two undefeated teams going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would they both be in?
I mean, if unless one team blew the other one out?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like right now, but based on the playoff rankings, like – LSU and Georgia already in, so they shouldn't even play next Saturday.
I mean, neither of these teams have lost in regulation.
No. That's with Les Miles. You think back 07 when LSU won it. They didn't lose in regulation.
Exactly.
They lost two overtime games.
Yeah. So I'm joking, but at the same time, you know, that's the thing, too. There's not a whole, like, basically the difference between Georgia's season and Clemson's season, other than Georgia's schedule has been tougher, is Clemson held off North Carolina on a 2-point conversion.
And
Georgia didn't make a field goal to extend in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, if North Carolina beats Clemson and they've got one loss and Georgia beats South Carolina and the Dogs are undefeated, how completely different does it look? And basically it's just coming down to like very two similar games and a couple of plays.
Yeah. I think Clemson then would be basically out of it because of their schedule.
Yeah.
And Georgia would be in the same position it's in.
And we'd be talking about, LSU and Georgia, two undefeated teams. What's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah. So,
but it's not.
Right. It's just the only thing that maybe changes now is, you know, maybe there would actually be margin for error in the SEC title game.
Yeah.
Who knows? But maybe it's better this way because you just know, like, you know what? You just have to go and you have to win to get back to the playoff.
It's impressive what Georgia has done, though, to win the East 3 years in a row. And the weird thing is they're going to be playing their third different opponent in the championship game.
Yeah.
And it's also weird that this weekend the Iron Bowl means nothing for the SEC West. I know Alabama's still in the conversation for the playoff, but just the fact that the Iron Bowl doesn't have any effect on the West is weird, too.
It'd be nice if Auburn could just get them out of the picture completely somehow.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Otherwise, then...
They can.
Yeah.
They certainly can.
Yeah, I think they can.
They can win that game. I don't know that they will, but they can.
Yeah, I keep thinking about, like, all right, so Bama doesn't have Tua. Well, they haven't had a guy like Tua basically for their entire run. They've only had him for the last 3 years. They've had quarterbacks like Mac Jones, and they've won, you know, multiple national championships. And then I even think, well, and even on Saturday, Bo Nix and Mac Jones, it's not like Auburn has the better quarterback necessarily. So I think they've got a better defense this year than Bama's. But not that Bama's defense isn't bad or anything. It just is. It's not the same standard we've seen out of all those Nick Saban teams. But and Auburn is at home. But at the end, it's another one of those games where you feel like there's a real chance to bury Alabama, and we've all been there before with that team. And just when you think some team's got a chance to knock them out, they don't. And Alabama just will be sitting there with one loss, giving everyone something to think about. And they need us to lose then. That would be the thing. We could make life easy on the selection committee just by beating LSU.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Alabama definitely wants LSU to beat Georgia.
Yeah, they need us out of the way.
Yes.
Because they shouldn't leapfrog LSU since LSU did beat them.
At their place.
Yeah. Although in the most recent playoff ranking, Penn State was higher than Minnesota. And the reasoning given for that was Penn State won at Iowa and Minnesota lost at Iowa.
Yeah.
That was actually said out loud. And then...
But, you know, it got sort of that way with the computers. I know you're talking about humans, but you remember in the BCS there were some times where it'd be like, well, so-and-so's ranked higher than so-and-so because they beat Coastal Carolina back in September and it gave them more, you know, or something crazy like that. That's what that reminded me of when they were saying that this weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute. What about head-to-head?
Yeah.
So I saw them play each other.
Yeah, so we're focused on the result they had against Iowa, but not against each other. Why don't you just go ahead and say it. Like, Penn State has a bigger brand than Minnesota does.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what it is.
Totally.
And that's why Alabama is always going to have a pulse.
Some of those are all those committee members are on the side looking at computer algorithms and getting data like that, even if they're not admitting it.
Right. So then it comes down to like, well, you know, who's going to draw more eyeballs, Baylor or Alabama?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah, Alabama.
And how can we spin that?
Yeah.
Well, so-and-so beat Iowa, and so, you know.
Because Utah is the team that's – like this thing too. Oregon losing to Arizona State helped Alabama some, I think, because now Utah is well. Hey, you know, Oregon, they had two losses, and then if Bama beats Auburn, that's like one of Oregon's quality losses. Is they lost to Auburn.
Yeah.
So
the Pac-12 needed a one-loss Oregon and a one-loss Utah to be against each other.
Yeah.
That was a bad day for the Pac-12.
Because I think Utah is they're deserving, but it's like they're Utah.
Exactly.
So, you know, they're not sexy for the postseason.
No, not at all. And that's the thing they've got going against them. These are the kind of reasons why we're going to see the 18 playoff here in a few years. Just so everybody can be happy.
Whenever this first one gets
their hurt.
Yeah, every conference will have a shot to be in it.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a couple of wild cards, I guess.
Does Utah, though, have that quality? Does they have that high-profile win, though, that you'd like to have?
No.
See, that's the problem, again, with Oregon losing, is if they had played each other in the Pac-12 championship, one of those, whoever won, would have had a big win because they would have beaten the other team.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of, you know,
yeah, it hurt Utah
a little bit. Plus, Utah lost to USC way back in the day.
So, what is Utah's best win?
Let's see here. I would say a road win against Washington. Although they have
five now. No, they
Colorado
they lost,
beat them.
Yeah, they've got five losses.
Well, here they've beaten BYU, Oregon State.
Nope.
Washington and Arizona on the road.
So far, it might still be BYU.
Northern Illinois, Idaho State, Washington State, Arizona State, Cal, UCLA at home.
Yeah, that's
the problem.
Yeah.
They don't have
BYU might be their best win.
You don't really want to go into the committee room hanging your hat on a win against BYU back in August. But that's
I do like the you look at different power ratings and stuff. Like, there are three teams in the country that have a top 10 offense and defense. Ohio State, Clemson, and Utah is is the third. We've got a top two defense. Our offense, though, right now is around 34th and plummeting weekly.
How did we do on the what's the stat you had that I love?
Oh, the success rate.
Success rate. How do we do?
We'll do a little break here and I'll dig it up from last week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It was another one where we were terrible in the first quarter, had a good second quarter, and then the fourth quarter we were bad again.
But I will say this, when Georgia needed to keep the football against Florida, they did. And when Georgia needed to keep the football against Texas A&M, they did.
Yeah, they came up with and even on the one touchdown drive Georgia had against the Aggies, there was that long third down pass, and then the touchdown pass to Pickens was on third down, so all of a sudden Georgia just scooped up a few miracles there. All right, the Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Athens at Five Points in the old Waffle House location and the original in Watkinsville. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, you could download the 960 The Ref app. Yep, get an app. We've got one. It's in the App Store. If you have an iPhone, it is in the Google Play. If you have an Android, and you can listen to The Ref wherever you are. You can get all of our on-demand programming, like this here Crossover Podcast, anytime you want it. And also stream all Georgia sporting events within a 75-mile radius. In fact, I met someone at the game on Saturday who was from Savannah. And I was telling him about The Ref, and he was like, well, I live in Savannah. I can't listen. I went, yes, you can.
So very easily.
So he went to the App Store and downloaded the 960
awesome.
The Ref app. All right, Chris Brame, David Johnston with you. We'll do a little quick timeout, and we'll come back with part two, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points, part two. Dave was asking about Georgia's success rate against the Aggies on Saturday. So, first quarter bad, 14%. Second quarter good, it was 41%.
What's considered good?
I would say anything over 50%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said 41%?
41%.
So that's considered okay?
I would say that's okay.
Okay.
14 bad, 25% in the third quarter bad. And then, so we were right at 50% in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
So, and probably
saving the best for last.
Well, yeah. And I wonder, like, if you went drive by drive, I mean, how much of that was just on that last possession where we bled out the last 4.5 minutes of the game?
Well, do you want me to give you the plays and you can tell me?
Yeah, we could figure it out.
All right. So, first and 10, Fromm to Swift for 3 yards.
That is not successful.
Second and 7, Harry
wait,
and
wait,
rushes.
Wait, 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 no, wait. Is that, hang on, it's
first and 10 for only 3 yards.
Yeah, no, you got to get half the yards on
half.
First down.
All right,
yeah.
So what do you have to get on second down?
70% of them.
All right, well, did that. Second and 7.
So we're 50%.
Harry and went for 6.
All right.
So third and 1, what do you got to do? Get the first
down.
You got
to get the first.
Got 2.
All right.
So what is that, 2 for 3?
So we're two for three.
All right. First and 10. Swift goes for minus 2.
Nope. So we're 2 for 4.
2 for 4. Second and 12, Fromm to Blaylock for 11.
All right.
So three for five. Then third and 1, Swift goes for 11 for the first down.
4 for 6.
All right. So back to first down, Swift goes for 9.
5 for 7.
Then A&M uses its last timeout. second and 1, Swift goes for 3. So 6 for 8.
6 for 8.
Now, do you count taking a knee?
Well, we no.
Do they
we'll take
do they
that
count
out.
That when they're doing success rate?
I would think no. Yeah.
So then that was it. 2 knees and game over. So
we were 6 out of 8 on that last
offensive
drive.
Success
there
rate.
There you go.
Yeah.
50% for the quarter.
Yeah.
But, hey, that was good enough. They had the ball on our 46 and punted and never saw the ball again.
Yeah. All right, so I know you're killing Jimbo for that. But how much, you know, is the thinking, okay, there's still 426. I know we're in Georgia territory, even if it's the 43. It's not fourth and short. It's fourth and long.
It was fourth and 11.
Fourth and 11. We got all three timeouts against an offense whose success rate is not good. You're still killing him for punting?
Well, I still think so. If they – let's say we run the ball three times and they stop us all and they use their timeouts. What is it, 30, 40 seconds gone?
Yeah.
So then you get the ball back with maybe 4 minutes at the most, and after Kamara punch, you're going to be in worse field position than where you gave the ball up.
Right.
So
I get it. I get it. I guess I was just thinking as far as the, you know, if you're trying to pin Georgia back with your punt and hoping that Georgia doesn't go anywhere, you got Braden Mann. You got one of the best punters in the country. I don't know. I guess to me the 4th and 11 is the difference maker.
Right.
But I get both sides of it.
They never got it back.
But that's the problem. They never got it back.
They had the ball, and then they didn't.
And I bet if we did the success rate on that last drive against Florida, it'd be similar to what we just did here.
Yeah. No, because Georgia was – and that was it was third down. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, Florida might get the ball back here. And then Fromm hit Eli Wolf, and that was pretty much the
game. It's easier to get a third down conversion when it's third and short, which means if you do better on first and second down, you're probably going to do better on third down. So the Dogs had a third and one and converted, had another third and one and converted on that last drive.
Yeah, that's our average third down distance is like 7.5 on Saturday. So
not good.
It's just, and I think that the story of this season, it's how it's going to be remembered is either one that just if Georgia could beat LSU, win the SEC championship, get to the playoff again, and then who knows what happens. It could go down as just an epic, legendary, all-time great season. But I think if Georgia ends up coming up short against LSU or ends up losing to, say, Clemson in the playoff, I think I'll look back on it and say it was Kirby punting on an offensive coordinator after Chaney left and just deciding to go with Coley and not really – conducting any sort of a search to do anything on offense is going to be looked back on as a real lost opportunity and a real wasted chance with this season.
Wait, I thought we were getting Eddie Grand from
Kentucky.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
Well, he got a big raise, I guess, at Kentucky.
Is he a Jimmy Sexton guy?
I'm going to assume he is.
I mean, most of them are. Probably, it's not him or it's Trace Armstrong.
Yeah, probably Jimmy Sexton called Kirby and said, "Hey, listen, Kirby, I'm gonna float this rumor that you're gonna hire Eddie Grant, and that way there, Kentucky will have to pay him more money." And Kirby, well, whatever you got to do, that's fine. You know, I'd rather it not look like we didn't. We wanted a guy from Kentucky and weren't able to hire him, but sure thing, Agent Sexton, whatever you need.
Some of the other coaches, when they do that, they get a little, they get a little finder's fee or something.
Yeah, maybe. Also. Maybe they get a little something tacked on. Who knows? when they all meet.
So anyway, that was kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, I don't even remember any other. I'm sure there were a couple of other names, but I remember Eddie Grand's name being thrown around, and that's kind of all I remember. As all that
goes. Was it. His name popped up, and then there wasn't really much else. And then eventually, you just assume, well, we're going to promote from within, and Kirby did with James Coley. And the offense has been a grind and tough to watch, but Georgia's still in position to win the SEC again, and maybe even get back to the playoff and win the whole thing. And that's how the season will be remembered if that happens. But I think if Georgia falls short again and you realize like how good this defense has been, I think that's going to be the real big takeaway from the season is the squandered opportunity, because there just was not anything imaginative to have done with the offense once Chaney bolted.
Thank goodness for that no-name defense and the terrific special teams. And Rodrigo and Kamara, I mean, is there a better kicker-punter combo in the country? Probably not.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kamara's been a real MVP of a sudden.
Exactly.
With his punting.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's got the defense, the special teams are good, and You know, the offense is the thing that could potentially prove to be the liability somewhere down the line. I like that Georgia hasn't turned the ball over since that South Carolina game, but isn't there also part of you that's like,
We're due
to turn it over.
Turn it over again, yeah. Yeah. You're not going to go the rest of time without turning it over.
Right. So, like, honestly, I would take – because we're not going to lose to Tech, so, like, maybe we could turn it over, like, twice against them.
And get it out of the
system. Yeah, just get it out of the system. And that way there you're not going into the SEC championship game thinking, we haven't turned the ball over since October 12th.
By the way, you know what it reminds me of? So, for fantasy football people, you'll be able to relate to this.
Is this a David Johnson story? I hate that guy.
No kidding. No, I was just going to say, so it was like, we've all been in this boat before, but like, I've got Lamar Jackson as my quarterback.
Yeah.
And like I had already won my game, and then he goes off last night, you know, and scores a bunch of points. It's like, ooh, I wish he could have had that kind of a game, you know, for when you need
it. Yeah.
That's what the turnovers remind me of. Let's get him out of the way in a game where it's not going to affect
right,
you.
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't usually always
you
work
were just running
way.
Up the score last
pretty
night.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the guy I was going up against just hates me because I ran it up.
I loved, like, this Sunday that the Cardinals didn't play, so I didn't have to start David Johnson because they won't list him as inactive ever.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well,
I've pretty much given up on it because you and I both have it.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, that was my first pick.
Mine too.
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
No. I would assume anyone that has him, that was their first pick.
Yeah. And then,
yeah, just a nightmare.
And then my second pick was Antonio Brown.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good draft.
Oh. Let me ask you, are you having a good season in fantasy this year?
Like, I think I'm going to make the playoffs, but I already know
good.
That I'm not. Like, I don't have any chance to win the
no
league.
No chance to win, yeah. But if you make the playoffs, there's something to be said if you're making the playoffs – not having a first and second round pick
yeah.
contributing.
I'm just trying to grind out a playoff spot, and I'll consider this fantasy season
a success.
Yeah.
So when you have to, since you're on the hot seat, when they're wanting to fire you, you can say, hey.
Hey, I made the playoffs.
Hey, I made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to cost myself and my team a high draft pick next year, though.
That's right.
All right, Dave, we'll have a happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Chris.
And go Dogs, beat Tech. And
so Jeff can have a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Boy, imagine me suggesting I wish Georgia would turn it over twice against Tech to him.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Those are fighting words.
I know.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. We appreciate you listening each and every week, and it's easy to do. You can subscribe on iTunes, listen whenever you want on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, download the 960 The Ref app. It is in the App Store, and you can download it there or Google Play if you have an Android. And you can get all the Ref content you want at your fingertips. Just tap, 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 including streaming all Georgia sports programming as well. Like, Georgia's playing in Maui this week in the afternoon, so if you're at work.
We didn't get around any basketball talk this time.
Nah, they did beat Tech.
That's right.
We talked about that last week, though.
I think,
with the
Yeah, we did.
The bad beat. Yeah, we had that.
So as we're taping this, Georgia's coming off a loss to Dayton, and they haven't played Michigan State yet. So maybe we'll talk about the Maui invite next week.
Yeah. We could be playing Chaminade.
Yes, we could.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, well, happy Thanksgiving, Dave. And
same to you.
We'll be back.
Linda and the whole family.
Yep, we'll be back next week for another exciting edition. Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.